Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Listen to The Passage now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to It Could Happen Here. I'm Garrison. With me today is Chris. And today we'll be talking about something that I was wanting to do for Pride Month, but time kind of got away from me. But we'll be talking with Noah Adams, who does research into the kind of crossover between autism and being trans. I know we briefly mentioned some like rhetoric around this on our War on Trans People series episodes. And Noah was kind enough to reach out to me to be willing to discuss this more in depth. Greetings. Hello. Thank you.
Hi. It's always Pride Month somewhere in the summer. So
That's true. So I guess I first want to kind of hear how you personally kind of got into this field of research, and then maybe kind of clarify what exactly your field of research is.
Sure. Well, I guess, where do you start? I mean, I'm a trans person, and I'm also autistic, so it's sort of a natural crossover for me. I got started in trans research, or trans activism, doing suicidality work.
Okay.
In such a long time ago now, but in, I think, 2006, myself and my best friend cycled across Canada to bring awareness for trans suicidality, and in memorandum of a friend who committed suicide. So, you know, we went to a lot of different communities in Canada, including Saskatoon, and did talks about, you know, did talks with local trans communities about suicidality prevention stuff, and met a lot of great people. And then I came back and I did my Master of Social Work, also on trans suicidality research, kind of looking at how there's a lot of different research out there, and who knows, you know, there's a lot of different rates that are given all high, and where are we supposed to, you know, fall on that. And then I finished that, and I was kind of tired of doing suicidality work.
Yeah, that seems it can get a little bit exhausting, and kind of grim.
I have a much darker sense of humor than I used to.
Yeah.
A friend, I was kind of drifting into autism work, and a friend who Jake Pine, who is a professor now at York University, suggested I kind of move into that area, and here I am.
So with the kind of crossover between being trans and have and I guess I'm not the best. I don't know. I consciously don't kind of know all the what the most appropriate language is. Would you say that you would you prefer to say that you like have autism or you are autistic?
I mean, I think it's pretty universal in the autism community to talk about identity first language. So
yeah, exactly.
You know, autism kind of leads, and that's yeah. I mean, I guess I'd say I'm autistic. Most people don't say person with autism.
Yeah, yeah. So with that, so how have you kind of what initially got you to, you know, because we see a lot of propaganda and stuff trying to almost like take away people's agency around both being trans and being autistic, right? There's a lot of propaganda there, especially from like the TERFs in the UK really started this out and really accelerated on this point. And I mean, we're not, there's a whole bunch of basically autism exterminationist groups out there and a whole bunch of other kind of problems around this. When these kind of crossovers start happening, where did you kind of, what kind of prompted you to see this and be like, hey, here's this thing that needs to be researched and here's how I'm going to go about it? Because you see a lot of people talk about this thing, but it's always generally to like attack trans people. Or attack autistic people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's a lot there. I mean, I would say, you know, my sort of seedling of interest is I just really don't like injustice. I mean, that's such a broad thing to say, but I really, you know, injustice against people for the sake of who they are really just kind of pisses me off. And, you know, I mean, when you pick a research topic, you've got to pick something that you're willing to spend hours and hours and hours in a library or a, you know, a virtual library, what have you, just kind of plowing away at it. And it seemed like I was pissed off enough at the injustice of the way autistic people and the way trans people are treated. And especially the way I think we're ignored by both spheres, by both, you know, for TERFs and trans exclusionary folks. I really feel like we're an easy target where, you know, autistic people or for that matter, people with developmental disabilities or people with any kind of, and I'm using heavy finger quotes on this, any kind of impairment-based disability feel like a soft target for people that just want to attack trans folks, right? Like, cause they're a group that are so, it's incomprehensible to them that we would be able to speak for ourselves. So they're, you know, I mean, I don't think they care about autistic people, but I don't think it even occurs to them that autistic people might have and trans autistic folks might have something to say for themselves.
So what's kind of the scope of your research been for however long you've been working on this for? It's for a PhD program, correct?
It is, yeah. Well, I started out doing, I wrote a book on trans and autistic folks. It's sort of a series of interviews with folks. I just asked them like about their lives and what it was like to be trans and what it was like to be autistic and what it's like to, you know, try to transition as an autistic person. And a lot of stuff came out of that around, you know, how difficult it can be for folks that are both to access trans healthcare and to sort of navigate their way in the world. And this is for my PhD work, it's sort of an outgrowth of that. So I'm looking specifically at how trans autistic community groups, sort of grassroots group formations, are forming and what their goals are.
How do you go about like ethical research into this topic? Because definitely there's a certain way to be like, I'm researching autism and trans people, to be like, that's a little bit of a side eye, right? Because of how like the TERF groups talk about it. Now, obviously you're trans and autistic and that's completely different, but like definitely, yeah, I was definitely wondering like, is there like how, what types of like ways does ethical research go about so that you actually understand people when you're talking to them? It's not about like, here, we need to like solve these problems, because they're not problems to be solved, but it's research into living people who are like having lives.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I'm sort of sorting through that myself right now, because I'm just, you know, working through my ethical research proposal. But I think you just have to be really honest and open and really write all this stuff out. Like, how are you going to contact people, and what are you going to talk to them about, and showing other people what you're doing, and being very open to that process, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In what types of ways do you see the crossover kind of between ableism and transphobia, and like what, how have you seen that crossover be used to kind of hurt both trans people and people who are autistic and people who are both?
I think the most explicit way has been, I see a lot of articles by The Guardian or The Daily Mail.
Sure.
That, you know, bring up the specter of autistic people being overrepresented again in finger quotes, among the trans population going to gender clinics. And there isn't ever any explanation after you say that. The scaremongering is just saying there's autistic people supposedly overrepresented among trans folks. Oh no. But as if it doesn't need saying, it's assumed that that's appalling. You know, but I would like a little bit more explanation.
there's a lot said by how they frame it and how they what they don't say. They really frame it's all framed as if this is something that everyone recognizes as like a problem. And countering that is really challenging because it is you're doing research into this specific crossover. And what kinds of stuff have you kind of learned throughout your research about this?
I mean, it's interesting. Like, it's that attitude is also represented in the academic literature. Like, over the last I'd say over the last 5 years, the literature on the crossover of autism and trans folks has like skyrocketed. Like, in 2020 alone, something like 150 articles were published, whereas 2 years before that, maybe 20.
Okay.
And the vast majority of them are mentioning the co-occurrence in passing. So they're saying, oh, well, we've read these other things where autism and trans identity co-occurs. So thus you should be very careful prior to providing trans healthcare because they might be autistic.
Yeah, that's the thing I wanted to talk about was like the whole medical gatekeeping aspect. And like you especially see this with like TERFs. You know, there's a lot of like infantilization with the TERF rhetoric around this. And then that kind of leads to this type of medical gatekeeping.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I saw this in a book with the interviews I did, and I see it in so many other places, and especially conversation with folks, is that, you know, the problem seems to be if you tell an unexpected narrative to the person in charge of gatekeeping you for transgender healthcare, you're going to make them nervous. And if you make them nervous, they're not necessarily going to say no, but they're going to say to themselves at least, oh, let's wait and see. And for autistic folks, waiting and seeing might mean forever, right? Like I talked to folks in the book that, you know, without mentioning actual cities because of the, you know, the particular situation of this person.
Yeah.
But let's say he lived in New Orleans and he wasn't able to access trans healthcare in New Orleans because it just wasn't available to folks who were autistic. And so he ended up moving to Chicago, which shows, you know, he moved to Chicago specifically to get trans healthcare, which shows a level of capacity that they're implying in the context of trans healthcare in New Orleans that he's not capable of. But, you know, he can uproot his whole life, move across the country, set himself up, find a doctor. And then he talked to the doctor in an informed health clinic in Chicago. And they were like, oh, yeah, we knew that you were from this city and we knew that you were autistic before you told us, because there's this whole pipeline of autistic trans folks making the migration to Chicago from this particular city because they can't get health care.
I mean, like, you know, I'm also thinking about, you know, like kids trying to come out as trans who have autism or have any other kind of, you know, quote unquote developmental disability. And like just all of the ways that that can be used to gaslight kids about their gender identity. I know in your book, you mentioned stuff around like self-discovery and coming out and issues with family. What kind of things have you heard about that in terms of how kids figuring out gender stuff while also having this whole other thing that people use to kind of, you know, add on to their experience?
I mean, I think, you know, one of the things I notice, especially in, you know, sort of trans autistic autobiographies, is that, you know, gender doesn't really make an inherent sort of sense to a lot of autistic folks.
I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, but I mean, I have something going on in my brain. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's autism, but yeah, gender's never made sense to me either.
And I think like where you, for autistic people especially, where you come across things that don't make an inherent sort of sense, it's difficult to accept them. like so much in the world doesn't make inherent sense, but that can be a real sticking point for autistic folks. So, you know, what I seem to see a lot of is that by the time folks come out of, first of all, it seems like, although, you know, I don't want to quote any particular kind of research on it because I think the jury's still out, but it seems like autistic people are more likely to identify as non-binary.
Okay. Or
to just not identify with gender at all. And it does seem like by the time folks come out as trans, whatever, you know, permutation of that there is for them, they've tried just about every other identity they can, you know, they can try out. Like, especially, you know, I mean, we're aware that there are social stigmas and social expectations around gender. So I think for a lot of autistic folks, they're going to try to fit that, even though it doesn't make sense to them, they're going to try to fit within that because they know it exists. And that by the time they come out as trans, like, or male or female or what have you, like, we pretty well know.
if that makes any
kind of sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of misconceptions people have about both being trans and being autistic, let alone being both. Is there any, what sorts of common misconceptions about this on a broader level would you like to dispel?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people get told, you know, you can't be autistic because you're too articulate, or, you know, you have too much of an opinion. Autistic people can't have an opinion of themselves or their own life.
And that's gross.
I'm paraphrasing, but I think that's what it equates to.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, trans folks get told, it's not uncommon to get told, oh, well, you can't be autistic because you're trans. So you're sort of in this no person's land.
That's such like an ontological attack on someone's being. It's so...
It really is, yeah.
Like, that's, you know, like, you know, already, like, again, just being solely trans or autistic, you get some of that. And then together, it's like it's just attacking every kind of part of you that you're trying to figure out.
Well, I mean, in terms of attacking people rhetorically, it's sort of the perfect weapon because you can make autistic trans people into whatever you want to be convenient to you.
What kinds of stuff do you think people should know about this to help kind of either, you know, to help either like counter some of like the rhetoric around this or just to gain better like personal understanding, right? If they have, you know, people in their lives who are like this, or maybe they suspect that they're trans and they're autistic, like what kinds of stuff would you like people to be more aware of about this intersection?
Well, I guess I remember a story someone from the book told me about how, you know, his best friend is trans and autistic as well and has a number of physical disabilities. And he's sort of the caretaker for him. And he was kind of talking to him about how, oh, well, I don't know if I'm trans and I don't know if I should, you know, if I should use that label or like, you know, maybe it's not the right thing to do or it's bad or something. And his friend was like, well, you know, you're not a hormonal vampire. Like, you're not going to like suck the hormones out of somebody else and hurt them by taking away their testosterone. Like,
oh, I wish. I wish it worked like that.
Yeah. you know,
I would be a trans vampire.
this is about you and what makes you comfortable. It's not about like, you're not hurting anybody else by being yourself. And I think, you know, autistic folks, like anybody else, you know, worry about, I mean, we're just as susceptible to the attacks on trans folks as anybody else, right? Like, and you worry that like, well, maybe this isn't the right thing to do, but like, what are you hurting by exploring it? That doesn't mean you have to be trans or you have to transition or you can't change your mind. Like, but it doesn't hurt anybody. Even, let alone you, to just be open to it.
Even just like temporarily trying out different names or pronouns, right, can be like such a big deal. And it can be very incidental. Like it doesn't need to be so cataclysmic, right? That's something that you can experiment with and it's fine, right? You don't need to lock yourself into anything. But of course, you know, when it's about your personal sense of identity, of course it feels much bigger.
Well, I think people worry about what other folks, I mean, obviously people worry about what other folks will think
sure.
of them and
yeah,
what that
course.
Mean for them. I don't know. I mean, it seems like a strange comparison to make, but I don't know if you've seen Crimes of the Future.
Oh, I've not yet.
Oh, it's really good. It's the most recent David Cronenberg movie, and there's this great. I'm going to give away the end of the movie, so spoiler.
Spoilers.
Alert. I know.
There's finally, we're turning this into a movie podcast. What I've always wanted.
There's this great scene at the end, though, where Viggo Mortensen is like in this. He has this special, like, very David Cronenberg-y bone chair that he has to like be in to move him around while he's eating.
Yeah.
And he finally is convinced by his partner to like try the plastic chocolate bar that's, you know, supposed to be like. It's a whole digestive thing. I won't get into it. But, you know, there's this moment of realization that, like, he's been avoiding this for the whole movie, and he, like, tries it, and he's eating it, and suddenly there's this realization moment in his face where he's like, oh, this didn't have to be so difficult.
Yeah.
Like, society doesn't want me to do this, and it's seen as a crime, and it's seen as terrible. But actually, when you cross that Rubicon, it wasn't as bad as you thought.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're even if you're not like coming out to everybody you know at the same time, right? You can
sure,
start off with a small group of people that you know are gonna be with you, and you try it out with them. And if you like it, then great. That's a really good sign. If you start it and you're like, this doesn't feel right, then you don't need to commit. Like, it's not a thing, right? Mm-hmm. That Rubicon can feel so big sometimes.
Yeah. And it feels like you're jumping across a giant, like the Grand Canyon, but really all it is you're stepping across, you know, a small stream, and you can step right back across there if you didn't like it.
Yeah. So what kind of things would you like to see happen around like the medical gatekeeping so that it's less fucked up?
I mean, I know a lot of, I'm actually at a conference in Belgium right now for trans health sort of, medical trans health stuff. And, you know, I mean, I think one of the things I keep coming back to is you don't need to treat autistic people in the realm of trans healthcare any differently than you do anywhere else, like
yep.
anyone else, like, especially in the gatekeeper-y model we have, like either you have the capacity to consent or you don't. Like that test is, and yep. I have lots of thoughts about that, but that's for another day. But you know, whether you meet those tests or not, it should not be any different just because you're autistic.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Would you like to, I guess, talk just briefly about your book? You know, what's it like? What the scope of it is? Where people can find it? Sure. That sort of thing.
Trans and Autistic Stories from Stories from Life at the Intersection by Jessica Kingsley Publishers. It was out in 2020, I think. People can find it on Amazon or wherever you buy books. I'm sure Powell's Bookstore over there in Portland has it. It's a series of interviews with folks who are trans and autistic. I sat down with folks and asked them about their life and what's going on and what that looks like. And then I sort of, try to transcribe that into a text, into a narrative form, and put that in a book. And here we are.
That sounds wonderful. I see the listing on Amazon.ca for our Canadian folks as well. Thank you so much for talking about this. Is there any other kind of random thoughts that you would like to mention that we haven't brought up yet?
Sure. I always like to plug Rubes Walsh's work, which looks at, they do a lot of work in trans autistic stuff too. And they kind of look at why more people may be trans and autistic. And one of the things they've found is that it may be that autistic people are both less capable of hiding the fact that they're trans and less capable of caring. Or caring about hiding it. It may be more obvious that there is a concurrence there, but not an actual overage of a concurrence, let's say.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that was definitely in the back of my mind. Yeah. Huh. Well, again, Noah, thank you so much for coming to talk with us.
Sure, Can I plug a couple things? Is that okay?
Plug away. This is... Still, still your time.
Okay. So I'm leading a refugee sponsorship group for a group of five for a trans guy from the Middle East. And we're raising funds through the Metropolitan Community Church in Toronto. We got to raise a certain amount before we can put the application in. And I can give you that link, but it's at canadahelps.org. And the name is Trans and Proud.
Trans Proud.
Trans and Proud. I can read out the whole URL, but it's kind of long.
I will put, if you send me that link, I will put it in the description for people to click on.
Awesome. And you can find me at Noah Adams on Twitter, because I got in early enough to get my name.
Yeah, wow. March 2009, just right on the cusp.
Yep.
Well, again, thank you so much for reaching out to talk about this intersection. Hopefully, if anyone was interested in what we were talking about, please check out Noah's book to just read a whole bunch of stories from people about this. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, everyone. That does it for us today. See you on the other side.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Listen to The Passage now. On the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.